Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Police are searching for the shooter who killed a juvenile in Durham. One local resident speaks out on the impact of the controversial shot spotter it's having on their community.
And get ready to roll up your sleeves for your annual flu shot. Wake County's first free clinic begins in less than an hour.
Also, who will replace Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House? The list of names is growing. Another young man dead from gun violence in Durham. The juvenile was shot just after 10:30 last night on Ridgeway Avenue. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Monica Casey spoke with residents in the McDougal Terrace community. Monica, what's the latest on the investigation?
Durham police say this is still an active investigation. No word yet on whether anyone is in custody at this point. Police say a woman was also injured in that incident last night. She was not shot, but she did have to go to the hospital for her injuries. I spoke with Laura Betty, the treasurer of the McDougal Terrace Resident Council. She tells me this is the first shooting she can remember happening in that area in months, and she credits that to the use of ShotSpotter technology.
What I have heard, because were gunshots, but the response was immediate and people were talking. It was how fast the officers responded. So, and that is because of ShotSpotter. So, you know, it has to stay.
Since implementing the technology in 3 square miles of Durham last December, police have recovered 20 guns and made 19 arrests. The dashboard also shows the median response time to gunshots in that technology deployment area is just over 5 minutes. That's faster than the department's goal response time and faster than their average response time in the rest of Durham. Betty tells me she believes this technology is saving lives. Now, police are asking anyone with information about this crime to come forward. They have not released the name of the young victim in this case. Michelle?
All right, Monica Casey in Durham for us. Thanks, Monica. And the man charged with a deadly shooting of a 17-year-old in Raleigh earlier this week is due in court today. Just after 1 o'clock this morning, police announced they arrested 23-year-old David Addy. He's charged with killing 17-year-old Dante Ruffin Jr., known as DJ. A large crowd gathered for a balloon release and vigil in honor of Ruffin just hours before the announcement. He was shot Monday night near an apartment complex on North New Hope Road. Raleigh police say this is an ongoing investigation.
Cold front on the way could bring some light rain as we head toward the weekend. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the timeline for that, Amy.
Looks like we'll have a few spotty showers throughout the day tomorrow. The cold front still to the west of us, but you can see the rain lining up in advance of the front. Today, we'll have an increase in the cloud cover, but we should stay dry throughout the day today. So let's fast forward to Friday in the morning, some showers west of us. For the most part, I think the morning commute will be dry aside from a few sprinkles. At lunchtime, we'll have clouds with some spotty showers, and that continues into the evening hours. So not really widespread rain. We're not going to get much rain, but we will get a little bit of rain tomorrow. We're going with a 30% chance for some showers tomorrow, and then a 20% chance tomorrow night into the first part of Saturday. And then Saturday night, some dry air is going to surge in behind the cold front. The cold front will also dramatically drop our temperatures beginning Sunday. I'll show you how chilly it will get for the end of the weekend coming up.
Medical experts say the flu season is getting started earlier than normal this year. In less than an hour, you can get your shot at a walk-in clinic in Raleigh. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains why health officials say it is so important to get this shot before the holidays.
You can get your flu shot today here at Wake County's first walk-in flu shot clinic of the season on Sunnybrook Road. Tina Payton with the County Health Department says flu season started early. Cases started appearing back in August. Medical experts are recommending that folks receive the updated COVID shot and the flu vaccine. New numbers released yesterday show flu and COVID hospitalizations across the state are down from last week. Payton says now is the right time to get vaccinated.
we're approaching the time where people are having family gatherings, approaching winter holidays. Now's the perfect time to get it. It takes about 2 weeks for the immunity to take full effect and get the full benefit from the flu vaccine.
And it is safe to get both your COVID and flu vaccine at the same time. You can get your flu shot here at the clinic starting at 1 p.m. today. And flu shots will be available without an appointment every Thursday until November 16th. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Today, Durham City Council will take a close look at three options for giving bonuses for all city employees. A previous strike by sanitation employees last month brought a new level of attention to the topic. That came after pushes from Durham police and fire departments for higher pay. According to a survey shared by the Durham Fraternal Order of Police, dozens of officers are considering leaving the city. In the new proposals, the smallest bonuses would be $500, the largest $5,000. Lower paid employees would get the higher bonuses. And once city council chooses an option, they'll vote on adopting it at their October 16th meeting. Employees would get the bonus in their November 3rd paycheck.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, final tributes today for the late Senator Dianne Feinstein. This is video of her casket laying in state at the San Francisco City Hall. Later today, she will be laid to rest in the private burial. Also later today, before that happens, a private service will happen with close friends and family on the steps of the San Francisco City Hall. It will be live streamed so people can watch it online. So this is close to the general public. Among the dignitaries speaking at the memorial service later today, Vice President Kamala Harris, as well as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Feinstein was mayor of San Francisco from 1978 to 1988 for about 10 years. She was elected to the U.S. Senate in 1992 and served for more than 30 years until her death last week. And of course, this is video from when her body was lying in state and just hundreds and thousands of mourners filed past her casket. Dianne Feinstein was 90 years old.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is calling his meeting with his Spanish counterpart productive. While attending a summit with European leaders in Spain, reporters asked if he was worried about ongoing support from the U.S. given the upheaval in Congress.
Well, I think that in Ukraine we finish worry the first days of full-scale war. I think it's too late for us to worry. I think we have to work.
And back in his country, Ukrainian officials say a Russian missile strike on a grocery and cafe killed at least 49 people, including children. This would be among the worst attacks on civilians since the start of the invasion last year.
The field of possible candidates to become the next U.S. Speaker of the House is growing, but it's still not clear how or when Republicans will select a new leader. At least two candidates have announced their intention so far. Ryan Noble shares the bigger names being discussed.
The House won't return to vote on a new leader until next week. Already jumping into the race, current number two Republican Steve Scalise.
This is really important that we get this right.
And conservative firebrand Jim Jordan.
I feel like I can unite conservative voters across the country.
Overnight, former President Trump posting, why is it that Republicans are always fighting among themselves? Why aren't they fighting the radical left Democrats? Now some lawmakers floating his name for the job, too.
A lot of people have been calling me about Speaker. I'll do whatever it is to help, but my focus, my total focus, is being president.
Until there's a Speaker, critical work is left to languish, including another potential shutdown showdown just 44 days away. And tonight, President Biden concerned about funding for Ukraine, speaking to NBC's Peter Alexander.
It does worry me. But I know there are a majority of members of the House and Senate in both parties who have said that they support funding Ukraine.
All of it after that historic move yesterday. Eight Republican hardliners joining with every Democrat to remove Speaker Kevin McCarthy. That handful of Republican holdouts upset after McCarthy worked with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown and empowered by a new rule allowing just one lawmaker to call a vote to remove the speaker.
I don't regret standing up for choosing governance over grievance.
That was Ryan Nobles reporting. Well, today, the Johnston County Board of Education will hold a special session to discuss low-performing schools in the district. Principals from six schools will present action plans. The plans will address steps to improve student proficiency, growth, and overall school performance. The board will ask questions and then either approve, change, or reject the plans. If approved, the district will send these plans to the State Board of Education. You can live stream the special session on Johnston County Public Schools' YouTube page. That starts at 3 p.m. Well, some North Carolina schools are showing progress with a new program that provides teachers and coaches. And that's according to university researchers who presented their findings to the State Board of Education. The program provided coaches to 102 low-performing schools to reverse pandemic learning loss. Reading and science scores jumped this spring at schools that had the coaches. They helped teachers with their curriculum and with feedback. It'll go on through the rest of the school year. So far, there is no state funding to continue it beyond that.
Well, sticking with the education theme here in the WREL Live Center, UNC Asheville, the latest North Carolina university to offer free tuition for some students. Take a look at your screen to see who qualifies. UNC Asheville would waive tuition and other fees for students whose family's income is $80,000 per year or less. This is well above the median household income in our state of $65,000 a year. This could affect more than half of North Carolina families and residents with kids in college. Now, based on the plan, based on the numbers, this could mean more than $7,000 in annual savings per family. UNC Chapel Hill announced a similar initiative earlier this year. This initiative will start with the incoming freshman class next year.
A community-based organization that helps people transform their lives through jobs and training received a big financial boost. Step Up Ministry received a $250,000 grant from the Truist Foundation. That money will be used to launch the new Employment Academy. The program will offer flexible classes for unemployed and underemployed adults, as well as referrals for housing, parenting support, and basic necessities. Step Up Ministry currently serves 600 people. Investors are waiting for some key jobs data. Tomorrow it is due out. Has things a bit uneasy on Wall Street. As you see, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 137 points this noon. The S&P 500 is down 25 right now. NASDAQ also down 84 points.
Next at noon, a migration crisis in Chicago. What some people who live there are filing lawsuits about while migrants flood the city.
Also, bougie spacesuits for astronauts on NASA's next mission to the moon, and another way the voyage will make history.
Plus, a Durham road closed after an early morning crash. Coming up at 12:30, details of how the wreck turned deadly.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back. A beautiful Thursday. You're looking live at the DBAP. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Some Chicago residents are expressing frustration as more migrants flood into that city. The number now stands at 16,000.
And now some people there are filing lawsuits alleging inhumane conditions for the housing of migrants in shelters and police stations, public schools, park buildings, and for migrant housing to stop. Natalie Martinez explains residents say they're not against immigration, but want humane conditions.
South Shore community members are furious tonight.
There still today is no plan.
There is a clear political agenda. We're not here saying we're against individual people who cross this border. We're mad at our government for putting them against us.
They're demanding an audit.
This is about equity for folks who live in the city of Chicago. We are here today demanding that the city of Chicago and Brandon Johnson stop disrupting park programs.
What the city is telling these young people is we're going to take away your extracurricular activities and turn you over to these streets.
In fact, Mayor Johnson confirms that a team from Homeland Security is here now assessing the migrant crisis and that he wants to take a delegation from Chicago to see it firsthand.
Going to the border is to make sure that everybody knows that my administration is committed.
He should be taking himself to helping the community here and making sure that he is handling the crisis that's here.
In fact, two members of this South Shore neighborhood group filed an amended lawsuit last week against the city to prevent continuing inhumane conditions for its current citizens and migrants gathering in front of the now shuttered South Shore High School.
The first thing that this lawsuit is about is for South Shore High School to reopen as a high school.
We're calling on the mayor and the governor to freeze the language of Sanctuary City.
Natalie Martinez reporting, and the Biden administration is waiving 26 federal laws in South Texas in order to allow construction of the border wall to resume. It's in an effort to curtail influx of migrants who are illegally entering the United States. According to government data, the Rio Grande Valley sector, which covers 21 counties, has recorded about 245,000 illegal entries into the U.S. so far this fiscal year. The new construction could add up to 20 miles to the existing border wall.
Abercrombie & Fitch is launching an investigation into its former CEO, Mike Jeffries. Jeffries is accused of exploiting men for sex during events that he and his partner hosted in various locations. The parties reportedly occurred while Jeffries was the CEO of the company. He abruptly retired back in 2014 after serving in that role for almost two decades. Under Jeffries' watch, the company paid a $40 million class action lawsuit over workplace discrimination. And a Nebraska grandfather is charged with child abuse after accidentally shooting his 12-year-old grandson during a wedding ceremony. The 62-year-old man was officiating the ceremony and tried to shoot a revolver loaded with a blank into the air to get the attention of the wedding guests. When he cocked the hammer of the revolver, it slipped and he shot his grandson in the left shoulder. Although it was a blank, the man had put black powder into the casing and then glued it. The boy has non-life-threatening injuries. Deputies do not believe that alcohol was involved.
Simone Biles and her U.S. gymnastics teammates are racking up the gold. Biles won her 20th World Championship gold medal at the World Championships in Belgium, making her the most decorated female gymnast ever. Her floor routine helped cement the seventh consecutive team title for the U.S. women. For Biles, this makes 33 major championship medals. This was also her first international competition since she pulled out of several events at the Tokyo Olympics in 2021 after suffering a mental block. French authorities are determined not to let the bed bugs bite during the Paris Games. Today, they gathered to work on a plan to exterminate the pests. In recent weeks, social media has published footage of bed bugs crawling around in high-speed trains and the Paris metro. The government has been forced to step in to calm an increasingly anxious nation about hosting the Olympic Games. A report published this summer revealed 1 in 10 French households had bed bug infestations between 2017 and 2022.
NASA's next mission to the moon will include a bit of styling and profiling. The space agency awarded a $228 million contract to modernize spacesuits to Texas commercial space company Axiom. The company turned to Prada for a little help. This is a prototype for the new spacesuit, which will be used on the 2025 Artemis 3 mission to the moon. The four-person voyage includes the first woman and person of color to go to the moon. That is pretty cool. Also, we're going to be cooling off weather-wise, but you know what? Today we're going to enjoy the beautiful sunshine. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth with a look over Southern Pines. What a great day to golf.
A beautiful day for golf. This is a live look at the Longleaf Golf and Family Course in Southern Pines. We have some pretty clouds, also some blue sky mixed in, but certainly more clouds around today compared to yesterday. You can see that with the visible satellite imagery. We have a lot of clouds across central North Carolina now as moisture continues to build in advance of the cold front that moves through overnight Friday into Saturday. It's warm already, though. Temperatures are in the upper 70s in Raleigh, 77 degrees. We've made it to 80 in Goldsboro, 81 in Clinton, 80 in Fayetteville. Fayetteville and 72 in Roxboro. So we're warming up again this afternoon. High temperatures will be in the mid to upper 70s and low 80s all across the viewing area today. This evening, it's going to be very comfortable if your kid has soccer practice or you want to do some exercise outdoors. Should be pretty nice to do it. Upper 70s at 5 o'clock, 74 at 6 o'clock, down to 70 at 7 o'clock. And it should stay dry through the evening, maybe a couple of sprinkles late tonight. This is where the cold front is right now. It's a pair of cold fronts. They're going to kind of merge into one and move through overnight Friday and through the day on Saturday. We'll have clouds building today, and then tomorrow some of this rain is going to move in. But this is going to be a weaker system when it gets here. We're not going to have as moisture as they do right now back to the west of us with all of the rain. We'll just have some spotty showers on and off throughout the day on Friday. It's not going to amount to much in your rain gauge. Here's a look at Friday morning for the morning commute. Maybe a sprinkle or two, otherwise just cloudy with temperatures mainly in the 60s. At lunchtime, a stray shower possible. I wouldn't expect thunderstorms, but temperatures will be in the low to mid 70s. And then through the evening, you can see just little blips of green there. We'll have some spotty showers through the evening commute. Temperatures tomorrow will still be warm in the upper 70s. And then Saturday morning, we have a couple of showers possible very early in the day with temperatures in the 60s. We should warm into the low 70s in the afternoon. But around 11 o'clock in the morning, we'll be watching the clearing in the western part of the viewing area. We'll have clearing skies the second half of the day. It's going to be breezy Saturday as well, and then it turns much cooler by Sunday. Football Friday, if you're headed to some games tomorrow night, just a stray shower, nothing widespread, nothing that I would cancel any plans over for sure. Temperatures will be in the 70s through about 8 o'clock and then upper 60s by 9 o'clock. I think the games are going to be fine, aside from maybe a few sprinkles. And then Saturday, we have a lot of home football games for college. Those will be in the afternoon, all of them, and temperatures will be in the low 70s. It'll be breezy. We'll have clearing skies. I think it's going to be pretty good for the games. Your weekend planner, maybe a shower early on Saturday and then clearing skies. It will be breezy. Our high temperature up to 73. And then Sunday, we'll have a chilly start with temperatures in the 40s, but then sunshine with a high of 66 in the afternoon. So overall, we have a pretty nice weekend forecast. Monday morning, it's going to be a little cold. We're going to get down to 44 degrees Monday morning, but Monday afternoon, pretty much perfect, 70 with sunshine. And then we're back up to 80 already by Wednesday.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Today at 5, we're getting a better idea of how your involvement in your child's education will shift as the school district implements a new policy regarding the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. Destiny Patterson walks us through what you can do now that you previously could not.
And a child died after choking on candy, but officials are blaming the packaging. 5 on Your Side has the urgent recall you need to watch out for today at 5:30.
And Charmin rolling out a change in its toilet paper rolls by the company. They're altering the design.
Our new news continues now here in the WRAL Live Center. Before I tell you the story, I want to show you this picture. This is Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. So here's why a Wisconsin man is in trouble. You see the headlines right there, but let me break it down for you. This man, he was initially arrested for bringing a handgun to the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison, looking for Governor Tony Evers. Again, that's Governor Evers' picture right there. So this man posted bond. That should have been the end of it, right? No, it wasn't. He returned to the state capitol again later that evening, looking again for Governor Evers, but only this time he returned with a rifle. Well, now this noon hour, that man is in protective custody. Of course, they're wondering if he has a mental issue going on. This is a developing story that we'll continue to track. Look for reports later on at 4 right here on WRAL.
Thank goodness. I'm glad the governor is okay. Thank you, Ken. Well, stranded airline passengers could get a hand up from a JetBlue and Uber partnership. Passengers who experience flight delays of at least 3 hours or cancellations within JetBlue's control will automatically get an Uber voucher. A text or email will be sent when the vouchers become available, and those with an Uber account will get the applied voucher. The Uber rides are only for to and from a local hotel.
Families can expect lower prices at Disney theme parks for a limited time. Starting October 24th, the Disneyland Resort theme park in California is offering tickets for kids ages 3 to 9 years old for as low as $50 each. The tickets are valid between January 8th and March 10th of next year. Children's ticket prices and dining plans at Disney World in Orlando will be sliced in half. The discount applies to a 4-day, 4-night vacation package. That deal can be used from March 3rd through June 30th of next year. A big change could be coming to a restroom near you. Procter & Gamble is introducing Charmin Ultra Soft Rolls with scalloped edges. They're going to roll this out nationwide. The perforations between the TP squares are changing from straight to wavy to make cleaner separation between sheets. The company says the top customer complaint over the years has been the uneven tears from the square shape. Straight perforation toilet paper will still be available.
See, but I want to get that exactly right if I'm tearing that.
Yeah.
All right, well, our news continues now. Coming up, a deadly crash shut down a road in Durham for hours this morning. What we know about the other injuries and how it might have happened.
Also, thousands of childcare centers are on the brink of closing. What's behind this and potential impacts on families in our next half hour. And here you're winning NC Education lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
One person is dead. Several others have serious injuries after an early morning crash in Durham.
This happened on Page Road near Comstock Road just after 3 o'clock this morning. Brett Neese is in the WRAL breaking news tracker with what he was able to find out from police.
This was the scene here on Page Road right before investigators reopened it following this deadly crash that involved an overturned car. I'm going to step behind the camera and show you a little bit of what exactly happened here along Page Road around 3:30 this morning. I'm going to zoom in. You can see the flashing lights there, the tow truck that is towing that car away. But take a look at the base of this tree. Somehow that car lost control, went off the side of the road and hit that tree before flipping and landing upside down along the side of Page Road. Take a look at this. This is video from the scene overnight. The WRAL breaking news tracker there just moments after this happened around 3:30 a.m. I'm working to learn from police how many people were in that car. I know multiple were taken to the hospital, and at least one person died here at the scene. I'm also asking police if they know why the driver lost control of the car. I'll continue to stay on top of the story and keep you updated. In Durham, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
Police in Baltimore are trying to identify the four people seen in this video captured near the scene of the shooting on campus at Morgan State University Tuesday. Police have not said where this video was taken or why they want to know who these people are. Five people were shot, including four students. It happened during the school's homecoming week celebrations. Police believe all the victims were innocent bystanders. The school has canceled the remaining homecoming week activities.
The president of St. Augustine's University says her school stands in solidarity with Morgan State University after the shooting there. Christine Johnson McPhail worked for Morgan State University for more than a decade, including leading a doctoral program. She says that she received so many texts from friends and colleagues about the shooting at Morgan State on Tuesday night that left five people hurt, including four students. That's when she said she had to write something online to let St. Augustine's and Morgan State know that she sends her support to her former school.
It was a horrendous act of cowardice, a horrendous tragedy on the lives of those students and the family that will be with all of us forever. And then you ask the question, why?
It's also homecoming week at St. Augustine's. Johnson McPhail says her university's police chief is prepared with increased awareness.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston, Wayne, and Chatham counties. Today, the Johnston County Board of Education will hold a special session to discuss low-performing schools in its district. Principals from six schools will present action plans addressing steps to improve student proficiency, growth, and overall school performance. The board will ask questions and then either approve, change, or reject the plans. If approved, the district will send these plans to the State Board of Education. You can live stream the special session on Johnston County Public Schools' YouTube page at 3 p.m.
A fiber optic internet company celebrated its launch in Goldsboro this morning. Local and state officials celebrated the expansion of Lumos Internet Service. The company will provide fiber internet for more than 1,000 homes and businesses in Wayne County and nearly all homes in Goldsboro. And beginning today and throughout October, Chatham County Library is celebrating horror movies set in or filmed in North Carolina. The Tar Heel Horror Film Series starts tonight with The Conjuring, and next week the library will show The Descent. The film series will continue with Brainstorm and Cabin Fever. Screening starts 6 o'clock each Thursday night this month, happening at the library on NC 87 in Pittsburgh.
Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin is the guest of honor at North Carolina's Courage Training today.
Now, therefore, do I, Marianne Baldwin, Mayor of the City of Raleigh, hereby proclaim October 5th in the city as North Carolina Courage Day.
The mayor declared October 5th North Carolina Courage Day. You heard it right there, to celebrate the team's Challenge Cup championship earlier this season. The mayor watched training earlier in the day and was in awe watching some of the best women in the world.
They're the best team around. I mean, this is like amazing. And watching them play, they do not get the recognition they deserve. We have six of the best soccer players, women soccer players in the world on this team. And having them all gathered today, watching them train.
Mayor Baldwin plans to attend Saturday night's game versus San Diego, Courage's final game of the regular season.
And more big news concerning women's sports in the world of the WNBA this time. Let's take a look at the headlines right now. The WNBA announcing an expansion into the Bay Area. The Golden State Warriors, one of the most successful NBA teams, now launching a WNBA team. That team will start playing in 2025. Of course, we know that Golden State Warriors have won a number of NBA championships, and the owner of the Golden State Warriors says he plans to do the same with the new WNBA team. Again, they will start play during the 2025 season in the WNBA.
Very exciting. Thanks, Ken. Well, thousands of child care centers are facing an uncertain future after pandemic-era federal funding that helped many stay open ended. Marianne Rafferty has more on how this could affect working parents.
Millions of kids across the nation are at risk of losing access to daycare centers. This after federal government aid that helped fund more than 200,000 providers expired. The funding was part of a pandemic-era program that helped child care providers keep their doors open. But now, some providers could struggle to stay afloat. Those in rural communities could be hit the hardest.
There are so many people that they don't have a grandma or an aunt or a cousin or anybody that can, you know, be a consistent person to watch their child every day.
Many of these centers go beyond just providing education and a safe space for kids while their parents are working.
The ladies here, they do a great job.
Businesses like Living Water Child Care Center in West Virginia can serve up to 3 meals a day to children, all while giving out donated school supplies and clothing.
I feel it's important for them to have a safe space so they know that they are loved.
Without the federal aid, child care centers worry if they'll have enough funds to support those relying on them. Data from think tank the Century Foundation shows up to 50% of providers in six states are at risk of closing down without the additional help, forcing some parents to stay home to watch their young kids instead.
When I say they would have no other option than not to work, they would have no other option.
The federal aid also helped lower care costs for parents, with many now worrying how they'll be able to pay for it.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. Families and providers are now urging Congress to create permanent funding for child care centers.
Coming up, controlling your dreams, the technology that could guide your thoughts while you sleep.
And some good news for shoppers, while why it may pay off to online shop this holiday season.
A new tech startup wants to control your dreams. A pair of 20-somethings co-founded Prophetic in March, and the prototype is billed as the world's first wearable device for stabilizing lucid dreams. The headband-like device issues ultrasound signals to the brain to stimulate the user's prefrontal cortexes while dreaming. The founders plan to showcase a prototype either later this month or early November.
Amazon's audio app may be going radio silent. Amp will be shutting down soon, just 1 year after it was launched by Amazon. The company says the app was made to give creators a chance to make connections and share their favorite music. Amazon and Amp have not announced the exact date when the app will officially end.
Good news for online shoppers this holiday season. Adobe Analytics predicts record-setting discounts. The company's holiday forecast expects online holiday sales to climb almost 5% above last year. Shoppers could see up to 35% off toys, electronics, and clothing. Consumers are expected to spend $221 billion online between November 1st and the end of the year.
Just ahead, domestic violence impacts millions of Americans, regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation. Coming up after the break, we'll talk with a local couple who is on a mission to shine a light in darkness to raise awareness and offer resources to survivors.
Also, you could call it an out-of-this-world competition. The footage your Ring camera has to capture you, or to net you a million-dollar payday.
Every 68 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted, and studies show that more than 10 million adults in the U.S. have experienced domestic violence, but there is help. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and today a Durham couple is here with me in studio to talk about their mission to light the way and spread hope. We want to welcome Ed and Florida Dudley. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about this very important conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. So, Florida, I want to start with you. Explain how you came up with the name Shining Light into Darkness.
As a survivor, that's the genesis of it. And Shining Light in Darkness came from my belief and my faith. And John 1:5, where light is, darkness can't dwell. And so with the darkness that's surrounded around domestic violence and sexual assault, hence the name Shining Light in Darkness.
And Ed, talk a little bit about the sensitivity when dealing with survivors.
Yeah, it's important to really be sensitive because we don't understand the toll that the trauma has had on them, mm-hmm. but more importantly, the emotional state, because we all heal differently. We all go through things a little bit differently. So we have to be very sensitive because we just don't know what type of emotional state that they're in at that time.
Sure, sure. And talk about who you guys serve.
We serve the underserved community, the marginalized. We serve women of color, men, people with disabilities, active duty, veterans.
Women of color.
LGBT. I thought he was going to chime in on
that one. We serve everyone, yes. but we have a narrow focus on the marginalized community.
Sure, sure. And we're looking at pictures from some of your previous events. Talk to us about the need to reach out to all these various backgrounds, because you talked about that 68 every 68 seconds, and you said to me, that's only what's being reported.
Correct. So how heinous this act is in itself, to have no support is hard. Mm-hmm. And adding the population that we serve, the marginalized communities, it's even harder when you add trauma to it. And so because I was there and I know I didn't have support and I needed support, I needed help, but nobody was there. So I suffered in silence and in darkness, and hence turning that vision into reality to give others that support that they need.
That's amazing. And I understand you've received the Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina Give Local Micro Grant. How is that going to help your mission?
Well, we were very fortunate to receive that grant. And what we're doing is we really want to spread our message. So what we're doing is we're taking some of that money and using it towards marketing to expand our message, because more people need to hear about what we're doing and the work that we're doing in the community.
And really quickly, talk about your collaboration with Blackology Coffee as well.
Oh, wow. Go ahead.
Blackology, our collaboration is a healing latte to help better serve victims and survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. And when I tasted it, we went for a taste testing and we tried multiple ones, but this one, it was just like a refresher, a renewing. And all of those feelings that I was feeling within that latte is what survivors need to feel.
Yes.
So this is why we went into partnership and collaboration with Blackology.
Mm-hmm. And a portion of the sales of every purchase of the latte will go back to Shine a Light to our programming
wow.
and services.
That's amazing. And how can people reach you?
Of course, email Florida, like the state, FLORIDA at SLID. FND.org or on the website www.slidfnd.org or by phone 919-791-5578.
Oh, you guys are incredible. Ed and Florida Dudley, thank you so much for joining us. This is such an important conversation to have.
Thank you
for shining light in darkness.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Jeff.
That was a healing message there. Thank you all for sharing. Amy Wilmuth is over in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now. Won't be long now. Behind you, that'll be bustling, right?
That's right. They're already setting up. We were noticing that they're setting up a little bit of the midway here. Some of the rides going up today. The State Fair gets started a week from today. Pretty hard to believe. Temperatures are nice outside right now. It's 77 in Durham, 79 in Goldsboro, already 80 in Fayetteville and in Clinton. So it's a warm afternoon. Temperatures will be in the low 80s this afternoon, but we'll fall back down to the mid-70s by 6 o'clock. So if you have some evening plans, some nice weather in the forecast, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds throughout the day today. More clouds today compared to the last couple of days. And then tomorrow, this area of rain is going to move in. It's just going to be spotty rain for us. The system weakens a little bit as it approaches, but we'll still have an increase in the humidity, and that will mean for more clouds today and the potential for a little bit of rain tomorrow. This is a look at the humidity increasing for tomorrow. Notice those deeper shades of green closer to the coast, but we'll have some green over us as well. Some spotty showers possible on and off throughout the day. And then by the time we get to Saturday, early in the day, we could have a few showers, but then that dry air is going to surge in behind the front. It'll be beautiful for especially the second half of the weekend. Maybe a stray shower early on Saturday, our high up to 73, but it's also going to be breezy. We do expect clearing skies through the afternoon on Saturday, so it should be a pretty nice day. And then Sunday, a chilly start and breezy to start, and then mild in the afternoon, plenty of sunshine with a high of 66. If you're headed to the mountains, I've seen some pictures of the mountains, really starting to see some color in the higher elevations. Saturday, temperatures in Asheville will be comfortable in the low 60s, but breezy. On the cool side in Boone, mid 50s, and then at Grandfather Mountain, high temperatures only in the 40s on Saturday, and it's windy with winds at 25 miles per hour. Sunday in the mountains, it's going to be a cooler day for Boone in the upper 40s for highs, around 60 in Asheville, Lake Lure about 64. Still breezy, but again, starting to see some of that real pretty color in the North Carolina mountains, especially in the higher elevations. This is a look at Tropical Storm Philippe gaining a little bit of strength with the 11 a.m. advisory. Winds now at 50 miles per hour. Previously, it was at 45 miles per hour. It's moving to the north at 12 miles per hour, and it's expected to go just west of Bermuda and then eventually making landfall perhaps in Maine as we head into the early part of Sunday morning as a tropical storm with winds maybe 50, 45 miles per hour. The proximity of this storm is going to be close enough to the North Carolina coast where we could have some dangerous rip currents over the weekend. There's another system off the coast of Africa highlighted in yellow here. It only has a 30% chance of development over the next week. It's something we'll continue to monitor, not really worried about it right now. Temperatures today are warm in the low 80s and then tomorrow still pretty warm, 78 with some spotty showers. Cooler on Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 73, and then chilly Saturday night into Sunday morning, 49, but nice finish to the weekend. Sunday looks great, and it's already back up to around 80 degrees as we head into Wednesday.
Thanks, Amy. Coming up, you could become a millionaire this Halloween. The company willing to pay you for proof of aliens.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Durham police are working to figure out who shot and killed a male juvenile on Ridgeway Avenue last night. He died at the hospital. A woman also suffered a minor injury, but she was not shot. Police have not released any names yet.
Durham city leaders are looking for three options for giving bonuses to city employees, all of them in the